When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them a prayer that we all pray every week. Some of us pray every day. And there's a petition in that prayer that goes like this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does it mean to pray that? What does it mean to ask for God's reign to come upon the earth? And how does that reign come about? You may know that this is the last Sunday in the church's year, and that the church has a cycle of seasons that it goes through every year, beginning with the season of Advent, which begins next Sunday. But Advent is a season of anticipation, followed by Christmas, which is a season when we celebrate God's incarnation in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, followed by Epiphany, which means shining forth, the shining forth of the light of God in the life of Jesus, followed by Lent, a season during which we remember that being about God's work in this world can sometimes be a very hard and dangerous and challenging thing, followed by Easter, a season that reminds us that the power of God is the strongest power in the world, and that love is stronger than fear, and that life is stronger than death, followed by the season of Pentecost, the season of the Spirit, which empowers God's people to carry on the same work that Jesus himself was about. And at the end of the season of Pentecost, today, we come to a holiday known as the Festival of the Reign of Christ, a day in which we look forward to the fulfillment of all of the hopes expressed in the Bible, in which we look forward to the fulfillment of that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how is it that God's kingdom comes? I don't pretend to have a definitive answer for you this morning. And actually, neither does the Bible have a definitive answer, because the Bible really has many different visions of how God's reign will come about, some of which overlap, some of which are in contradiction to each other. But it's like the Bible is a conversation, and we are invited to join in that conversation and play with these different images and ideas and just let them take a hold of our imagination and take us wherever they will. So I'd like to share three metaphors with you today, three different understandings of how it is that God's reign will come about. The first metaphor is left behind. Any of you ever seen any of the Left Behind books? I see some nods. I've never read any of them. But they're a great commercial success. They have sold over 60 million Left Behind books. You can buy them in a box set at Costco. And you can go to the Left Behind website and find all sorts of Left Behind merchandise, including a prophecy club and a Left Behind trivia game. Why, if you think Jesus is coming the day after tomorrow, you're so heavily engaged in merchandising, I'm not quite sure, but that's not where I want to go with this. The Left Behind books come out of a biblical point of view known as apocalypticism, the belief that we are living in the end times and that Jesus is going to come back any day and usher in God's reign. And it may not surprise you to know that for thousands of years there has been apocalypticism. In the first century Judaism, it was a highly apocalyptic time because the people of Israel were living in the midst of a contradiction. They believed they were the chosen people. They believed they were living in the land that God had promised them. They believed that God wanted that land to be led in a way that brought honor to God, but what they saw was that their land was occupied by a foreign army, the army of Rome. And they wondered how long God would put up with this. And so first century Jews believed that God was going to send a Messiah who would lead an armed revolt against the Romans and successfully drive them out. And there were lots of would-be messiahs in the first century, and some of Jesus' disciples probably thought that Jesus was such a messiah. And maybe Jesus thought that about himself. We don't know. But what we do know is that all of the apocalyptic hopes that were invested in Jesus kind of collapsed over time, because the one thing that wasn't supposed to happen to the Messiah was not supposed to be crushed by the Romans. He was supposed to overcome the Romans. And when Jesus was crucified, it brought real doubt to the idea, is Jesus the Messiah? And yet for a generation, Christians in the first century kept holding on to this. Paul, writing in the 40s and the 50s, kept alive the faith that Jesus was going to come any day now and inaugurate God's reign. And even in the year 70, when Mark was writing his gospel, Mark believed that before that last generation that knew Jesus died out, Jesus was going to come back and inaugurate the reign of God. But that didn't happen. And so over time, the early church began developing other understandings of what it might mean that the reign of God was going to dawn. So this brings me to a second metaphor, and I would call it the inward journey. Around 90, about 60 years after Jesus died, Luke was writing his gospel. And there's a story in the Gospel of Luke where some Pharisees ask Jesus, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus answers them by saying, the kingdom is not going to come with any kind of signs that you can see, because the kingdom of God is within you or among you. A different kind of point of view. And it gets developed even further if you read the Gospel of John. There's a story in Jesus' trial in the Gospel of John where Pilate asks Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus answers, my kingdom is not of this world. And you're beginning to get a very different understanding of what the reign of God is about. In John, you have the physical world in which we all live. But at the same time, you have in another dimension the realm of God. And we can be a part of the realm of God as John understands it by faith in Jesus. According to John, Jesus' death and resurrection created a way for believers to participate in the reign of God. But it's not something that takes place in the earthly realm. You will always have the poor. You will always have hunger. You will always have sickness. It's a matter of going into this new spiritual realm through faith in Jesus. But yet, another kind of metaphor also arose around 90. And this is the one that we read from the Gospel of Matthew. The parables that Jesus told, the parables that Shannon was telling the children about. A very different image from either of the other two about how God's reign comes about. It's like a farmer who takes a tiny little mustard seed and plants it in the ground. And in time, that seed will grow up and provide a large shrub that is large enough to provide shelter to the birds of the air. The reign of God is like a woman who takes yeast and puts it in a lump of flour, in a mixture of flour, and over time, that dough will rise and you can bake bread that will nourish the body and the soul. A very different image from, say, apocalypticism, which believed that God was going to step into human history and change things all at once, because these parables that Jesus told talk about something that takes place over a very long period of time. You ever spent the afternoon watching a seed grow? Now, taking a seed and getting it wet and holding it in your hand and seeing if you can see it grow, I can't imagine a more boring way to spend an afternoon. But if you plant that seed and keep it watered and keep it with the right amount of sunlight, if you come back in a week, it will have sprouted. If you come back in a month, it will have had some significant growth. If you come back at the end of the growing season, you'll have a mature plant. If you come back after many years, if it's a tree, it will have grown significantly. Something great will have come out of a tiny little beginning over many years. Same thing with yeast. If you ever sat in front of a lump of dough to watch it rise, pretty boring stuff. But if you leave it in a warm place and you come back after an hour, it will have done its work. And so this metaphor of the reign of God says it will happen over the entire course of history, not all at once. There's another way that this metaphor is different from apocalypticism. Apocalypticism believed that God was going to step in and do something that we can't do. But these parables that Jesus tells are about God and human beings being in partnership. We plant the seeds. God causes the growth. We water the seeds. God causes them to flourish. And one other difference between this parable and what we see, say, in the Gospel of John. John tends to write off the possibilities for changing this world, but these parables that Jesus tells are about stuff that happens in everyday life, in the world. Seeds growing, baking bread. It's about God and human beings together to change and improve life in this world. So we have three very different metaphors of what it might mean for the reign of God to come about. I just leave these with you, asking you to let these different metaphors play in your imaginations, get you curious, but most of all, to get you thinking about what it might look like for the reign of God to be coming about in the earth, and what it might mean to pray that prayer that Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.